Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section.
Hello, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Psalm 55, Tila Nun Hey. Psalm 55 is an individual lament against specific enemies. And what's killing the psalmist is that his enemies are one of his own, his friends, his neighbors, his coworkers, people he goes to shul with. And against them, our psalmist does not know how to respond other than he is looking to God for help. There are three particularly beautiful images here in the psalm. The first is a hope to fly far, far away from all of one's troubles. The second idea, which I find striking, and I mentioned before, is that these are not normal enemies. They are internal enemies, and as such, is not sure how to deal with them. And the third takes us really through the author's city, showing how what should be a safe haven is no longer a safe haven at all. The structure is also very smooth. The first six lines, as a group, ending with the word Selah, are a lament of the psalmist's suffering, and it ends off with an impossible dream where all of his troubles are left behind. Verses 9 through 16, the second section, describe the enemy and the cause of the suffering, beginning with what the author was hoping for as a kind of a desperate solution or a salvation from his problem, and turning out not to be so. The third section is not so much a petition to God to rescue him from his enemies, but really confidence that God always has and always will support him. And the fourth section, which starts in verse 21, returns to the enemies, but much more vociferously, spelling out their evil, repeating a call for salvation, but really wishing on them a terrible destruction. Finally, a word of confidence ends the psalm. And now, on to the actual translation. Lamnatzeach bin ginot maskil David, for the maestro with instruments, a maskil by David. Ha'azina Elohim tefilati vi'altit alam mitechinati. God is invoked as David prays, O God, lend your ear to my prayers and don't disregard my plea. Hakshiva li va'aneni arid b'sichi va'ahima. Pay attention to me and answer me, for I cry out in prayer and I shout out in prayer. These are very direct words, but as I've mentioned before, they assume a close and trusting relationship between David, or between us who speak David's psalm, and with God, and therefore it transforms this seemingly rude and chutzvedik words or commands into real feeling and real dedication, real devotion, and not so much commands, but requests and petitions. And now the lament, about which is the troubles, that is, what kind of troubles are prompting his cries and shouts. Mikol oyev mipnei akat rasha ki amitu alai aven uv'af istemuni. From the voices of the enemy, that is, I'm crying out because of the voices or the sounds of the enemy, from the pressure of the wicked as they bring their evil on me and trouble me with their anger. Notice that it's very nonspecific at this point, which is usually how it works in the beginning in the lament section of a psalm. The details come later. Libi yachel b'kirbi ve'emot mavet naflu alai. My heart convulses within me and deadly fears befall me. Yirah v'ra'ad yavo vi v'techaseni palatzut. Fear and shaking descend on me as quaking envelops me. Notice that this section is really a lament. David has not asked for salvation from his troubles, since he has not described what they are yet. He is really only praying that God listen to his prayers and recognize his terrible suffering. And now we have, for what the author is certainly not a reasonable solution, a likely solution, but nonetheless it is such a perfect solution for him, and we'll see why later in the psalm, that he must long for it nonetheless. Va'omar mi tain li aver kayona aufa ve'eshkona. And I said, if only I had the wings, literally the limbs, of a dove, I would fly away and dwell there. Note that the words mi tain does not mean literally who will give or who would give. Mi tain in the Bible is an idiom which almost always means, in modern Hebrew, lulei or halavai, and in English, would that it was, or if only. So it becomes, if only I had wings. Hine archik nedod alin bamidbar selah. Returning to the dream, look, I would travel far, I would dwell in the desert Sela. This imagery of a solution of escape is not common in Tehillim. Usually the psalmist turns to God and says, help me. It doesn't say, I wish I could fly away and avoid all my problems. And I think that here is different because there's something else and different going on in the psalm, which is sadly and shockingly, the enemies are not enemies surrounding the gates of the city. They are not external enemies at all. They're internal. They're inside the city. So only as a last resort, after David realizes that it's not possible to simply fly away, does he ask God to bring punishment upon his own, essentially. But first, a description of the enemy and how they have corrupted the city, which has confounded his hope for a solution. This is section number two. Achisha miflat li meruach soa misar. I would hurry a refuge for myself from a turbulent wind and from a tempest. The word soa is a hapax logomena, which is a fancy way of saying a word which shows up only once in the Bible, or a unique word. But from the context, soa seems to be turbulent. It fits well. The image here as I see it, the way it looks to me, is that there's this violent storm outside. It is usually the way it works is this terrible storm at night and wind is blowing and rain is lashing and you're sitting inside, perhaps your fireplace going, your kids are on the couch with you and the rain is lashing on the window and you are safe and comfortable, feeling a great sense of protection in your own four sturdy walls of your own house. Well, for David, his house was his city. But as we see, the house is far from a safe haven because the storm is on the inside, not on the outside. Bala Adonai palag lishonam ki ra'iti chamas v'riv ba'ir. Swallow them, my Lord. Confuse their tongues because I have seen destruction and corruption or disputes in the city. The reference is from the generation of the Tower of Babel and from the generation of the flood, both in the beginning of the book of Genesis, of Bereshit. The word shachat is the same kind of evil which precipitated the flood, pun intended, and the generation that built the Tower of Babel was called Dor HaPlaga, since God confounded their speech. So we have the word palag lishonam here. Some see that story of Babel in Genesis as a simple etiology for the fact that there exist multiple linguistic groups and languages and dialects in this world. However, a deeper understanding of our Torah, especially as reflected in rabbinic literature, really clears up what that story of Babel is all about, which is that they all spoke the same language. The issue was that they couldn't agree on anything due to personal strife or ego or paranoia or whatever it is that causes human beings to always disagree with each other. It made their plotting impotent, which is the way God wanted it to be. And that is certainly the sense here, that as David is asking for Bala and Palag, in order to say, you know, swallow them up by causing them to be able to not communicate with each other, to not be able to plot and plan. Bala and Palag are both commands in the PL, hence the Patach, followed by the Dagesh Chazak in the second letter as a small grammatical note. And as a slightly larger grammatical note, one should also notice that Gimel in ancient Hebrew was very guttural. It was more like Harimel. And therefore, it was very close to the guttural ayin, which is how the Sephardim pronounce it today. Ayin, not ayin. And since bet and pe are also very similar in sounds, beh, peh, therefore the word bala and the word palach really sounded very much the same to the original poet and his audience, and therefore it creates a nice alliteration, assonance, and almost a pun, really, as the words play off of each other. Yomam valayla yisova vuha al chomoteha. Va'aven ve'amal bikirba. Day and night they, i.e. the destruction, the disputes, or the people who caused it, they walk around on her walls. Yisovavuha al chomoteha. On the city's walls, that is the city that was meant to be a refuge in the storm, they're inside, circling the city. And there is evil and mischief inside of her. Va'aven ve'amal bikirba. Havot b'kirba, v'lo yamish mirchova toch u'mirma. Dishonesty is inside of her, and it, as well as fraud and falsehood, can't be removed from her town squares. So we've gone from the walls of the city to the halls of the city, the squares of the city, and there is simply evil everywhere in it. And we'll see shortly exactly what that evil is. So again, getting back to my metaphor, not the psalmist, not David's metaphor, but my metaphor, you're sitting on your couch, but the rain is raining on the inside. inside, not on the outside. And now the problem with the refuge is, or with the lack of refuge, is really spelled out, but in a less metaphoric and more literal way. Ki lo oyev yecharfeni ve'esa. Lo m'san'i alai higdil ve'esa ter mimenu. Because my situation is not like an enemy, i.e. an external enemy, that would insult me, and I could bear it. And it's not like one who hates me, who would rise over me, and I could hide from him. Va'ata enosh ki alufi umyudai. But it is you, a person just like me, my loved ones and my friends. Asher yachdav namtik sod bevet Elohim nehalech biragesh. It's those people who we together, sweetly, were in groups. It's those people who we together went to the house of God in a throng. So the enemy is someone who sits next to you at shul. It's your PTA buddies, your kiddish club, the people that you go to ball games with. And there's a very deadly play on words here, because on one hand, sod means group, namtik sod, we had a sweet group. And regesh is a throng, so as a throng we went to the holy temple. But sod also means secrets, and regesh also means the tumult or commotion. So I think that David is, with his two-faced words, invoking his two-faced enemy. And the problem is internal. There is no safe haven. And the psalmist is not going to be able to escape his reality by flying away. Therefore, he calls on God to do what God must do. Yashim mavet aleimo, yeredu sheol chayim, ki ra'ot bimguram bikirbam. Let him incite death against them. Remember that in metaphoric poetry, there was no fear that people would confuse the image of a personified death, this Mavet, with the Phoenician god of the same name. It's just an image. It's just a metaphor. For example, if I say that guy walks on water, everybody knows that neither do I believe that guy is Jesus, nor am I affirming any personal belief that Jesus did in fact walk on water. I simply use provocative metaphors in order to powerfully get across my image. Unfortunately, provocative metaphors always open the risk that one will mistake the image for literal speech, but that's just a cross I'll have to bear. Returning to the verse, let them go down alive to Sheol, the underworld, because evil is not only in their dwellings, it is in themselves. And now we get to the confidence section, confidence that God is the only solution, as well as the self-assertion that the psalmist is faithful and therefore deserving of salvation. Ani el Elohim ekra. Vadona Yosheni, but I will call to God, and the Lord will save me. Note that he uses the two primary names for God, Elohim and Yudke Vavke. Erev Vavoker Vatzahorayim Asichav Ehemeh Vayishma Koli. Evening, morning, and afternoon, I will pray and shout out, and he will listen to my voice. This verse is a nice proof that prayer could be done three times a day, or probably was set up three times a day. And also, it's an interesting proof that that a religious day starts in the evening. And note that in the beginning of the psalm, where he wasn't sure that God would hear his cries and his shouts, here he is confident that God will. What changes that, by the way? Why at the beginning of the psalm was he lamenting and terrified of not being heard, and here he's confident? It could be the very fact that he's turned to God and that he's invoked God and that he's communicating with God gives him the very confidence that he needs and deserves. Pada v'shalom nafshi mikravli kibrabim hayu imadi. This is confidence. Something that hasn't happened is expressed as if it has. That is, the psalmist is using past tense, even though the following things have not yet happened. He has rescued me in peace from the battles that closed in on me, and it was as if the masses were with me. Ki v'rabim hayu imadi. Now, obviously, this hasn't happened yet. First of all, he wouldn't be singing the psalm. And in the next tense, we'll see he's speaking in the future tense and not in the past tense. But it's this confidence tense. I'm so confident that something will happen that I phrase it as if it has already happened. Yishma el v'ya'aneim v'yoshev kedem sela asher ein chalifot lamo v'lo yara'u Elohim. God will hear and punish them or afflict them. Note that this is an opposite play on the verse 3, where the psalmist prays, listen to my prayers and answer me. The word ana in the kal means answer, but here in the hifil it means afflict, like the pl form inui. So there's a play on ana and ina. God will hear and punish them. Indeed, the original ruler, Sela, very interesting that we have a Sela in the middle of a sentence, who has no exchanges, and they didn't fear God. I translated Yoshev in the beginning of the sentence as to rule, such as in the verse, Vayeshev Hashem Melech Leolam, and God will rule king of the world. I also asserted that the subject of Ein Chalifot is God, meaning that he won't give them, the enemies, in exchange from the punishment they deserve. Rashi, however, even though the Lamo is singular and the Yar'u is plural, says that it means that the enemies don't fear God and they don't think God can change their luck from good to bad, which means they're going to keep it going and going. And that means that they deserve the punishment and therefore God should Ya'aneh Otam, he should afflict them. Either way, notice that the Lo Yar'u Elohim is another opposite play on an earlier verse where David says, fear descended on me. And here, other people do not fear. That is, they don't have the basic fundamental understanding of how to respond towards God. And now he explains exactly what these enemies, these internal enemies, these former friends did. Shalach yadav bishlomav chilel brito. He sent his hands. Here we are in the singular. The enemy is a singular now. He sent his hands, metaphorically, meaning he worked against his allies. He abrogated his covenant. Chalku machma'o Piv ukrav libo raku devarav mishemen vehema petichot. His words were smoother, meaning faker, than butter from his mouth. But he had aggression in his heart, ukrav libo. His words were silkier or smoother or softer than oil, but they are, in truth, swords. Petichot are either swords or daggers. Interestingly, the modern word for compliment is a machma'a. And it's taken from this pasuk probably, but here the meaning obviously is negative. That is, when sweet things are coming out of somebody's mouth, you have to wonder whether they are fluffy like butter, but whether they're either meaningless or whether they actually are meant to have the opposite effect. And now the accusations against the enemy and his behavior is clearly spelled out. Either the psalmist, so in the following pasuk, either the psalmist, now that he's clarified things, either turns to his audience to affirm his confidence in God, or the psalmist perhaps challenging the words of a prophet or God's words as might be spoken to the psalmist in his time of trouble. Hashlech al Adonai Yehovacha v'hu yichal kalecha lo yitain le'olam mot latzadik. Cast your burdens up towards the Lord, and he will take care of you. He would never allow a righteous person to topple. And now the psalmist turns back to God. V'ata Elohim toridem l'v'er shachat anshei damim u'mirma lo yechatsu yimehem v'ani yiftach bach. And you, O God, bring them down to the netherworld, to the pit. These deadly, deceitful people should not get even half of their lives. But I will trust in you. And that last part, Vani Eftach Bach, this is not a condition that if you, God, will save them and give them what they deserve, then I will trust in you. But I believe it is a comparison. Do this because I trust in you. Save me because I trust in you. And destroy them because they don't trust in you or fear you, and therefore their actions are wholly evil.